Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is Second Contact. My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Tristan Riddell. Yes, so good we have to each say it.
I appreciate that.
Yes. So good to be with you once again for another episode of Lower Decks after a fantastic Star Trek day, by the way. Oh my gosh. I'm in Star Trek heaven right now. How about you?
I just caught up. I had a horrible day yesterday and wasn't able to be online whatsoever, but I was able to catch up this morning and saw all the trailers. So we saw the Picard season 2 trailer, the Lower Decks mid-season trailer, the Strange New Worlds cast introduction, the 4K comparison for Wrath of Khan, and what am I missing?
Let's see. Prodigy.
I think that might be it. Oh, Prodigy. Yes, yes, Prodigy.
Oh my God. Did you get chills when you heard Janeway's voice? Because I did.
I am super excited, and I keep wondering if we'll do commentaries for that show or not.
We should maybe evaluate that just because we are going to have what looks like a lot of Voyager references, and that's kind of our jam. So
it's kind of our thing. So
yeah, let's think about that. We don't have a whole lot of time because it's coming 2 weeks after Lower Decks is done.
And you guys let us know, like, if that's something that you want to hear.
Sure. Yeah, please give us your input. We like to hear from you. Now, that said, we do have a new episode of Lower Decks just to keep the party rolling. As if Star Trek Day was not enough for the whole freaking week, no, we get a new episode of Lower Decks.
And we are halfway through the season.
We sure are. It's going by so quick.
So after this episode, we have 5 more, and I'm really looking forward to it. And so let's just go ahead and get going. And as you longtime listeners know, that what we do is we queue up after the rating. So after you see TV-14, hit pause, and then when you hear us count down 3, 2, 1,
which means, in my opinion, when we say play, which of course they're going to censor out anyway. Speaking of which, the TV-14 rating,
but like, no Mugatu sex, which is you know what, I'm fine with. I am A-okay with that. No horn stroking, no nothing.
You know, it was interesting seeing the fan reaction to that whole thing. Very divided. Some people loved it. Some people were appalled.
I was grocery shopping, I was grocery shopping in the middle of the day last Thursday, and out of nowhere, I got a text from a fellow Star Trek fan, and all it said was, "I could have gone my entire life without seeing Mugatu sex." I was like, "Someone watched Lower Decks."
To be fair, that probably applies to lots of alien sex. Things that we don't necessarily need to know, but maybe we're going to find out. You just never know in the Star Trek universe. Now, with all that said, let's get into this episode, shall we? There is no sex. We can say that for sure.
All right. So let's set it up. Let's go, everybody. All right. 3, 2, 1, play.
Boom.
Now, I can't remember. Have they started with just the intro before? No cold open, no nothing?
I was thinking about this because I think maybe for one episode last season they did it, but I do not remember which one because it's been a while. So
I think that might have happened once before. I think so.
Yeah, somewhere in the very end of the season, maybe episode 8 or onward is what I'm thinking. So right away, though, my brain was wondering, oh, okay, this is different. Is this going to be a different kind of episode?
You know, so you thought like, oh, maybe this would be intriguing or something like that because they didn't have a cold open. Maybe it would be different than what we've seen before.
That was my initial thought. Now, after seeing the episode once, I think it was just so that they didn't have anything to really be a teaser. They just wanted to get right into it, and that was the rhythm they wanted to go for.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I think you're right. So Duplers.
Duplers. It sounds like a kid's toy, doesn't it?
It really does. It's a little on the nose. Yes. Oh, yeah. Like, and it's so, you know exactly what's happening because like, oh, it's a diplomatic mission because they have this big spread like in Star Trek like VI.
Yes, you've got the Romulan ale, at least the blue fluid, mm-hmm. if it's not Romulan ale, but this massive spread of colorful foods. I was actually thinking more to the TOS days, like when Sarek and Amanda come out.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Ransom with the quick save of throwing his own fork.
Yeah, it was good thinking on his part. I loved the suspense, too, of is that going to work or is it going to make it worse?
I do like that they are, in this episode, they're focusing a little bit more on the captain's kind of reluctance at her own mission status. You know, where she's kind of tired of being a California class captain.
Something tells me that she's been at this for a little while. So that doesn't come as a surprise.
And you also asked the question last week. Was maybe there's something in her past of why she's a captain and not an admiral, and maybe there's something that happened in her past that makes her a captain of a California class instead of a, right. I think they use the term capital class ship or a capital ship later on in the episode.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I've ever heard that before. I mean, I'm not saying they haven't said it before, but I don't remember hearing that before.
I don't either. So we got some things to learn. That's what that tells me.
So the clone actually did go by William. Like yes. It is actually William. William Boimler.
Yes. I'm so glad that they're acknowledging this without having him show up. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. in older Star Trek, that would be the thing is we're not going to talk about this until we're going to address it head on. And he's just going to be here. So this is probably my favorite part of this story is Mariner and Boimler finally having it out. We are going to address the abandonment issues we've got going.
Yes, I'm glad. I was a little disappointed because of like we had just a little like we didn't get any kind of frustration from Mariner when Boimler came back, and I'm glad that we're getting that they're hashing it out.
Yes, yeah, it's time. It's been time, as you were pointing out. So they were kind of cool about it, but here they are saying, no, this has been boiling under the surface the whole time. I'm glad that they did that too.
So I saw this episode before I watched any Star Trek Day stuff.
Oh,
and
okay.
When I saw the model, I was like, oh man, they need to sell that. And then of course, the Eagle Moss is making it.
They are. And my friend Norman Lau has a fantastic idea. They need to have for the stand to hold up the ship, the little alien on the nacelle. And you can just hold it up that way.
That's a great idea.
Right? Oh my gosh, it would be amazing. Now, did you ever do model kits when you were younger?
I bought a few and tried a few, but I've never finished a single one.
So you kind of were doing a Rutherford thing, just maybe for different reasons, though.
Yeah. So Richard Kind is the voice of the Dupler.
Okay.
The Dupler guy. And before he even opened his mouth, I felt like I knew it was going to be Richard Kind. Like it just like his voice is very much that type of alien.
I got you. Now, I do not know who this actor is. What else has he been in?
Oh, I think a lot of people would know him from Spin City.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Spin City. Like, let's see. He was in Argo. He was Bing Bong in Inside Out.
Okay.
And he was also Molt in A Bug's Life, like the grasshopper that kept molting.
Right. Yeah, that kind of, this all does check, doesn't it?
Yeah. I actually got to interview him once.
Oh, did you really? Nice. I bet that was fun.
So we got the scan. We can't miss the scans here. So they brought back the scans.
Yes. Now,
oh, a Delta Flyer looking ship on the left there. I didn't notice that before.
Oh, you know what? I didn't notice that the first time either. That's cool.
That was straight up a Delta Flyer.
Nice. Now, which do you prefer, the dress uniforms that they went with or the dressy scans?
I love the, I like, these look very similar to the First Contact era dress uniforms.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan of those. So I really like these.
I always think of the Troy and Riker wedding with these uniforms because they're so prominently featured. So it's, it feels like, and it's, you know, they're white with some gold. They're very elegant looking. It feels like wedding attire to me just because of that.
And of course, Mariner has to roll up her sleeves.
Of even course in a dress she does. Uniform. It's the Mariner trademark.
We've seen this alien before in TNG, but I cannot remember what episode it was, but I know we've seen him.
Oh, wait.
It was the episode where there was Picard's doppelganger was on the ship and he was being it's the one where he was captured and they were like aliens were observing him being captured with some other aliens.
Oh, I think golly.
There was one guy, yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember.
I didn't even remember that part. I was too focused on Becky Mariner.
Becky.
She's so not a Becky.
I love how annoyed she gets. And this is weird.
Oh my gosh, Data bubble bath. Yeah. Now, this is a fantastic marketing opportunity. If I do not see Data bubble bath in the StarTrek.com shop within a week, I'm going to be really disappointed. Because, so, hello.
This does, okay, besides just being a marketing opportunity, this really does hit home the idea that, I mean, Star Trek Picard did this, and Lower Decks really does this, where our favorites in the Star Trek universe from TOS, Deep Space Nine, TNG, Voyager, and Enterprise, and everybody like that, like, they're the best of the best. We have been watching the best of the best. So they're heroes and famous.
Yes. Yeah, and we're acknowledging that.
Yeah, and we're acknowledging that again. Like, you know, the Tom Paris plate, the Data bubble bath, you know, make this stuff because these are the celebrities of the 24th century.
Pretty much. Now, I wonder what happens if you do get a Lore bubble bath. What then?
Now, on the model ship, it says Quark on it.
Yes, it does. It's Quark model kits. He's cashing in.
So he's branched out. So he's not just in the food industry anymore.
No.
Like, he's straight up in merchandising and who knows what else. So he has to be like sitting pretty. He For must real. Have gotten the riches that he wanted to get, which makes me happy.
He's like the Jeff Bezos of the 24th century. He's in charge of everything now.
I think that's a good comparison. Like, Quark is now in charge of the Amazon of the 24th
century.
He's the
Amazon. Oh my God. Yes.
So this has to be a gigantic space station for it to have a car chase in it.
Right. And granted, they do destroy a lot of it along the way here.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Little bit. Also, a little tidbit I have to mention. Mariner apparently only wears underwear on special occasions. She noted this.
Yes, she did note that.
Okay.
We're going to see that in a memory alpha entry at some point.
It's already there.
It's going to be on her bio. Rarely wears underwear.
Right. And with skin tight uniforms? I don't know about that, man.
Well, no lines. So what did you think about this car chase overall? Do you think it was too much or do you think it was just right? Klingons.
Indeed. I thought it was all right. It's very Lower Decks-esque, meaning only this show could exaggerate this type of thing in this way. They're going to make it a little too big, but I don't mind it. What did you think?
I think, yeah, it was a bit much for me. But I think I keep having to, okay, there was a Morn species there. I can never remember. But you keep reminding me that this is what Lower Decks is that it's an exaggerated version, that it's bigger than what we deem Star Trek reality.
Yeah.
And
it's animated. We got to blow it up. Yeah.
You got to blow it up. And I got to keep reminding myself of that because to me, it felt like just a bit too much that these Starfleet officers were putting too many people in danger. Just trying to get to a party.
It's absolutely irresponsible, 100%. But you know what redeems it for me? All the Boimler screams we're getting right now.
I love that there's a good Boimler scream. There's a typical Boimler scream. Like it made me think about when he was like being half transported.
Yes.
And it was just that digital scream effect added.
It's almost like every time they cut to Mariner and Boimler in the car, he's screaming. Cut to something else, cut back to them. I love it. I love it so much. Now, what did you think about this little adventure that Tendi and Rutherford are having right now with the duplers?
I feel like they needed to pick one where it was either like The Dupler stuff on top of Rutherford trying to figure out if he was truly himself or if he was smarter before he lost his memory, I didn't like how they meshed. It felt very forced to me that they were joining the Rutherford and Tendi storyline with the Dupler storyline. It did not feel like they went together at all.
No, it's true. It's two completely different things, isn't it? And the fact that they really don't bring it home and connect them in some way. Yeah, I see what you mean. At the same time, though, this is episode 5, so we're midway in the season. It feels like this episode is very much a connector, trying to tie up the loose ends from the start of the season and then getting us ready for the rest of it. So who
knows? That's a good way to... Oh, we got a TIS reference with these birds.
Oh, yes, we sure did.
I think that's a really good observation where we're having completion with Mariner and Boimler and him leaving for the Titan. We have some completion with Rutherford losing his memory and Tindy's relationship with Rutherford before and after he lost his memory, and Freeman and
I love this visual. So sorry. The data's floating up is the data's hilarious. Popping up.
Yeah, absolutely. But Freeman and Mariner together, like at the end, they kind of have a quick connection where they join hands. Like she lifts her up. They have a drink together. It kind of shows that they're burying the hatchet too. So yeah, this very much. Yeah, I think that's, you're spot on with that.
You nailed it. Burying the hatchet. That's what this episode is doing. So they're resolving the plot lines that we started the season. And then we're going to go forward and probably do a whole lot of cool new stuff. I'm okay with it.
I love that the alien was just like, thank the gods whom I worship. Like, not getting specific.
Right. And nobody talks like that. Not really.
I love that line. I owe a foot up your ass.
This is why I love Mariner so much. Now, one thing we have not talked about is the little mini warp core detonation. Going back to Rutherford and Tendi, I thought that was adorbs. Again, little marketing opportunity. I'm telling you, you know what I want? Is I want a little mini warp core on my keychain that's actually pepper spray. And then if I ever need to use it on some creep, I can detonate it.
You can scream, eject the warp core.
Right. And then poof. So, and I'm okay.
Not to get too visual here. Because this is a podcast, and for those of you who aren't watching, but I do like that there is a difference between the dress uniforms of the California class ships and the other ships of the capital ships, because the white uniforms we see the white uniforms of the first contact era ships and uniforms, I say, and they have the right combat, so they're very much in line with what they deem as appropriate for their ship and everybody else's ship. So they didn't just put everybody in the Cerritos dress uniforms, which would have been very easy to do.
It was a really good touch. And if you missed it, though, there's just enough with the bouncer to tell you what's really going on here.
So Boimler was not dirty in the previous shot. And he's dirty now here.
Come on, guys. Nice catch.
Shelby!
Yep, Shelby. Shelby's there. Now, we've not seen Exley, have we? Is that a new person?
I don't think so.
I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't recall either.
I do love this space station. Reminds me of Space Dock in the movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, it would have to be that big, at least.
At least. But it looks very pretty with a 24th century touch.
So this is becoming like the Tribbles in that Short Trek where they're just taking over the ship.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing, Tristan. I thought, which reproduces faster, the duplicators or the Tribbles, as I just started calling them. They're not duplers. They're duplicators.
This is fantastic. Like, they get tweezers and the cross-cutting.
Right.
And then the high-pitched computer voice.
Sounds like a little kid because it's mini.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. And it works.
Yeah. And of course, if Rutherford's making a model, he's going to make a warp core that works.
Well, of course. It's the warp core. How could he not? So So you know what the station is, though, or this party? It's basically in a gigantic mall. Don't you get that feeling?
Yes, it definitely feels like a gigantic mall. Now, behind, now there's tons of references in these photos, like a lot of TOS. But if you look on the Mariner's left side, that's the alien that sold Tom Alice.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not catch it. I wasn't really looking at the art behind, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Every single one of these is going to have to be analyzed, and I'm sure TrekCore is already on it.
So they're on it right now.
Yes. I always look forward to that. They go deep.
Yes. No, I always do appreciate TrekCore's analysis of the Easter eggs afterwards, because you know, now is that the, that's the solar ship directly behind them. That's
It sure looks like it, doesn't it?
Sisko's solar ship, yeah.
Yeah, I always love that ship. I love that episode, and I love just the concept of that ship. We're already trying to do a solar light sail in the 21st century. It seems like a plausible form of space travel.
Well, there you go. I mean, Sisko was ahead of his time.
Right?
Or the, I should say the Bajorans.
Well, yes. Yes, it's Bajoran technology. Now here comes all the swearing. And I appreciate everybody getting the chance to tell them off. And it doesn't matter what they say. It's funnier that they bleep it. Then it's left to your imagination, and you can come up with something far worse than what they might have actually said.
Kind of like in Arrested Development, where it was so much funnier when it was bleeped as opposed to when they had the uncensored pilot.
Exactly.
On the
DVD. It's unnecessary censorship, if you ask me. But it's effective in this setting.
This line, I lost it at this line. Your paw is weak and it disgusts me. I'm going to use that online.
Please do. Maybe the trolls will start to decrease in number.
Ooh, that's a great idea. In order to decrease the trolls,
right?
Say that their paw is weak.
I'm personally going for the Dr. Ta'ana approach. It's just going to be beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, I thought of you when Dr. Tana just started letting loose.
Hey, there's a reason why I've used the handle, oh, the profanity, for 12 years and counting. That said, I ignore trolls. I don't have time for this. I got stuff to do. I'm digging the music in this bar. If you're not watching, take a note, just little tiny piece of music, but I like that, and I want some Klingon acid rock. We got good stuff. Now, this
bartender. I
really
like the bartender. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see this character again.
Oh, yeah. I want to see her pop up. And if she's clearly older, and so we could see her pop up anywhere.
Could be amazing. We just got the big reveal of who has visited this bar before, Kirk and Spock.
And I'm sure we're going to get a novel soon or a short story that reveals the entire backstory of them
gotta
trying to get
know.
Into the party.
Yeah, could we get anything? I mean, the fanfic is going to go through the roof, of course, and especially the slash fic, because you could infer, or you never know. But, yeah, I don't know. I could even stand to see this as a short trek if they'd be willing to go there.
That's such a good idea!
Right? Oh my God,
that's such a good idea.
Get Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto to do it. Somehow come up with the budget. I don't know the logistics. You guys figure that out, but put that thing together.
Well, it's gotta be Prime Universe. So it's gotta be
I suppose.
Peck and whoever, you know that they're gonna have Kirk pop up in Strange New World somehow. You know that's gonna happen.
Sometime, somewhere. I guess when we get to that point, then we could get
this. Then we can do. There we go.
All right. We'll have to wait.
I was 50-50 on whether or not this speech was actually going to work.
I'm so glad it didn't, though. This is a good bouncer.
Yeah, this bouncer's not screwing around.
Mm-mm. Nope.
And I love that we get to see Dr. Ta'ana's tail more.
It's there.
So we get the I escorted the Enterprise out of space dock, damn it. Like, that's her claim to fame.
Yeah. Don't they know who I am? I think one of my favorite things about this episode as far as a subtle detail goes, is the fact that this bar really is the coolest thing. This is where the party's really at. It's so true. The actual party, when you go to a big events like this, it's okay. You might have a good time, but really there's some hole-in-the-wall hangout that's going to be much better, and you can have a real good time there.
Yeah.
Also, no Akana as a DJ.
That was weird.
Like, I figure that checks. He looks like he's having a good time.
I thought that was one reference that was a little forced.
No, it totally made sense to me. He's like the Kevin Federline of the 24th century. Yes, I went there and I do not apologize for it.
So relevant.
I know it was harsh.
There's
the Quark, once again, Deep Space Nine model kit.
And you can tell that they took just a picture of Deep Space Nine and then used a Photoshop filter to make it look animated. They didn't even animate it themselves. They took a picture and used a Photoshop filter.
I appreciate that touch.
Hey, I'm fine with it. I'm not criticizing, just saying that's what they did.
Yeah, that was a very deliberate choice, and it's charming. I love that the counselor's in the background. I really want to hear Paul F. Tompkins more on as the season goes on.
So Mariner and Boimler next to Kirk and Spock.
Yeah, memories have been made. So all in all, how did you, regard this episode?
You know, it's kind of, I kind of complained about this last week where I was super rushed in watching this. Like, I had to take note of the time because I needed to take my kid to her second day of preschool. And I didn't get to relax and watch it. I was just like nervous watching it, just like I was last week. And was for other reasons. So I need to take the time because this one, it didn't really make me laugh that much. Uh-huh. But I need to take the time to watch it again and just relax with it and let it wash over me. What did you overall think of this episode?
I'd say overall, it's okay. It had a job to do, which we've already discussed, and it takes care of that. It is not nearly as laugh out loud funny as, say, last episode, because I did enjoy last episode. I know some people didn't. I got a kick out of it, and I laughed more watching that episode than maybe I have any other episode of the season thus far. So, this one, I really do wonder where it's going to fit in the grand scheme of the season as a whole. I have a feeling just middle of the road, maybe position 5.
Yeah. I think this is a kind of a middle of the road episode to me. It's not bad. It's not terrible. It's just kind of, a few laughs here and there.
It's a perfect segue. It does what it needs to do. Also, we forgot to mention Mariner, now that she has her number one, Boimler needs to grow a beard in season 3. Am I right?
Yes, a purple beard.
A purple beard. And then you know what needs to happen is the Titan needs to come back, meet up with the Cerritos for a visit. And then I would love to know, does William have a beard? Or did he go, shaven? And
baby then meanwhile, Boimler.
And Ensign Boimler has the beard.
We'll find out. Only time will tell.
Shenanigans will ensue. I am so excited. All right, everybody. Well, I think that is our episode for this week.
If you want to contact us, please go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select a second contact from the menu and then fill out a form. Let us know what you think of the show, or you can find us online on Twitter at Join the Nerd Party or on Facebook and Instagram at The Nerd Party. And we would love to hear from you guys. And also let us know if you want us to do a Prodigy commentary podcast.
Sure. Yeah. Or if you've got other ideas, pitch them.
Yeah.
The worst we can do is say, nah.
That's true. Shar and I have had many shows together and we love podcasting together. So if you have any ideas of what you would like us to talk about, please let us know.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to come up with a show concept sight unseen with the show. But if you got ideas and you don't want to do a podcast yourself, throw it our way. We'll consider.
So we will see you next week with the latest episode of Lower Decks.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.